you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
There are former Trump fans all over the internet who are burning their Make America Great hats, which is very scary because it means they've discovered fire.
It has to do with the fact that in the Soviet Union, if you want to buy an automobile, there is a 10-year wait.
We have constructed a governmental welfare scheme, which has been a machine for producing poor people.
I asked you about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
I think that all government is a waste of taxpayer money.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Circus podcast. This is Zed, and I am joined tonight by Supreme Court protester Red.
Hi there. I'd just like to scream out a blood-curdling cry as I scrape the fingernails off of my hands in terror while I'm trying to enter into the Supreme Court. Would that be okay with you, everyone?
Well, you know, were you trying to enter Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's chambers to try and get her to gain weight? Because I feel like we should be trying to beat her door to her chambers down and have her drink some Ensure or something.
Yeah,
I think she's like 94 pounds.
I actually had 3 McChickens and a milkshake, and so I was gonna try to visit with her and, you know, get it in there. But I was not allowed in. Right next door to me, there were actually a couple people trying to get into Brett's room. I didn't see any McChickens with them, though, so I don't know what their deal was.
Oh, okay. No McChickens there. So we'll get into exactly what that's a reference to here in just a few minutes. But first of all, we were right, Red. Yay.
Hooray! The most cynical thing we could come up with turns out to be the right thing. That's great.
So we made a couple predictions on last week's show. One was that Kavanaugh would be seated, and I predicted that, you know, he could do whatever and it wouldn't even matter and he would be seated. And, you know, of course, nothing really new came out after we recorded that last episode, but I still believe it would not have mattered if he had done whatever to whoever, however, he would have been seated. And the other prediction, Red, was
Somehow this would turn the Democrats against the FBI.
And you're correct. So
ding, 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 yep, ding, ding, ding.
Red, you called that one. I've been listening to a couple shows the past few days, and they are indeed talking about their deep-seated hatred for the FBI. So I guess we all agree on one thing now. Yay.
We did it. I think this is – we deserve some serious props for calling this, calling it ahead of time and calling it accurately. Now, I was really hoping for a specific headline where it said Trump's FBI, but all I got was things like FBI and then some kind of a derogatory comment. So it wasn't exactly what I was looking for, Trump's FBI. I was really looking for that. Maybe in a week. I'll keep Googling. Maybe I'll find that out there.
Well, I think they're still holding out for the whole Mueller investigation, so they're not going to call it Trump's FBI until at least that's over with.
Oh, that okay. So if that happens, it's Trump's FBI for sure. If Trump gets off the hook and Mueller says, "Oh, Trump's a great guy, never did anything wrong," I think that would be the last straw.
Yeah. So what we were talking about when we opened the show there, well, there was this video that Red had sent me of some people protesting outside of the Supreme Court, actually banging on doors. I'm not sure if those were the actual doors to Brett Kavanaugh's chamber or if those were just like doors at the Supreme Court. Either way, some very, I guess, impassioned and either brave or stupid people were banging on the doors and screaming in protest. I'm not sure exactly what they were trying to accomplish, but they seemed angry.
Yeah, well, I think they were trying to stop Brett Kavanaugh from being sworn in, I think was the goal there. I don't know if they planned to murder him or if they were going to pile on top of him. or stand between him and whoever was swearing him in. Not really sure what the goal there was. Hopefully not murder. Who really knows? They were very, very upset, though. If you haven't seen the video, very good video, very funny video. Lots of screaming, lots of chanting. I didn't feel like it was very productive conversation. But they did apparently manage to sneak past the police and get all the way up to, I guess, some door that they weren't supposed to get to.
Well, that was the thing that confused me the most when I was watching the video. It's like, I feel like that I would just be, you know, completely deterred from doing something like this because I feel like, you know, someone is going to come and haul you away. It feels like one of those things that you know the consequences are going to be so bad that it would outweigh any benefit because, I mean, no matter what, they went up there and yelled. And maybe if all it took was a bunch of people to yell and scream on the outside of a door, then we wouldn't have had to go through this whole rigmarole that the Dems went through last week trying to stop the Kavanaugh, nomination. They would have just waited until he was about to be confirmed and then banged on the door.
Well, you know, maybe that's how we should try to. From now on, when we disagree with something that our democratically elected leaders are doing, we should just go into the place that they are and scream and try to kill people. I think that is the most effective strategy
for getting what we want. That's a joke, FBI, CIA, NSA, and any other government agency that is most certainly monitoring this podcast.
Yeah, nobody cares. But but if they did, that would if I was like some kind of a Republican that was running for something, they would have taken that out of context and I would just be destroyed in all of the mainstream medias over and over again. They would be playing that clip.
Or if you were a Democrat that was running for something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
the Fox News would all get me.
Fox News would get played out of a 24-hour day. That would be like 20 hours of the day.
Yeah, they'd have to cut 19 and a half hours of Trump to squeeze that in.
Well, they would. I'm trying to figure out how you get 19 and a half hours of positive Trump footage.
I don't know, but you either get 19 hours of positive Trump news or you get 19 hours of negative Trump news. And those are your choices for news in the year 2018. It's a good year. It's a good year to be alive and paying attention. What's very interesting, I think, is that so many people are paying attention to the news now because the news is so entertaining because it's no longer news.
Oh, you know what? I just thought of a great product we should sell on our store. The U.S. Politics Salt Shaker. It's divided into two chambers, and both of them have salt in it.
The Daily Circus Tribal Salt Shaker. I don't know what we're going to call it. The Daily Shaker. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it.
Anyway, so yeah, Kavanaugh did get confirmed, as we predicted. Of course, this is going to be, basically this will shape decisions on the Supreme Court for decades, I think, at this point, which is,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's depressing for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting. So there's a lot of stuff I really, really, really don't like about Brett Kavanaugh and his decisions and his judicial philosophy about what he thinks about things. I think he's like pro-patriot act. There's lots of stuff I don't like about him. One thing I do like about him is that he has written some positive things about not being deferential to the administrative agencies. So there's this one particular case that came before the court, Chevron, and it was basically around this idea of who should, if I don't know what exactly the law says, so the law is written kind of vaguely, and that's like all laws because it's very, very difficult to write precisely. So if you've ever talked to anyone who's like an engineer and they're trying to understand what they're trying to build for you, they'll try to write in very precise language. And lawyers try to do that too, but they fail generally pretty spectacularly. And so we have all these administrative agencies, these administrative states, and they have all of these laws that have been written to create them, right? So there's this law that says, okay, you're the EPA and this is your job to make the air clean. But it's written really, really, really vaguely and really, really broadly. And so sometimes you're not sure if they actually are allowed to do what they're doing. And I think most people would try to err on the side of caution. At least that's my perspective, that we would not say, hey, because somebody was vague doesn't mean you literally get to do anything you want now. That seems like the wrong approach. And so that was basically the approach in Chevron that the Supreme Court went with. They were like, well, you know, you feel like that's what the law means and you're in charge of your little group. So however you feel like you want to interpret the law is fine with us, which is probably just the worst possible thing they could have done. And so from that ruling has come just like tons and tons of terrible rulings where the administrative state is no longer accountable to even the Congress that created it. So it just kind of spirals out of control and there's these unelected officials doing kind of whatever they want and then saying, well, we think that's what the law means and we're in charge of how we interpret the law, which is totally circular. And so one thing, at least, I hope that will be good about this is the last guy we appointed was kind of against this stuff, and I think this guy is too. And so if we can get if we can get there, then we'll push that thing back. And while lots of other bad stuff may happen, that's like a core foundational reason why our country has been totally, totally riding off the rails lately is literally that one ruling on Chevron.
Well, you know, I'm sure the FTC will find a way to shut it down.
Well, somebody's got to stop these people from taking away their power. I mean, really, if we change Chevron deference, like this is a really achievable goal. This is something that we can really do that will fix the government. It won't make it more Republican and it won't make it more Democrat. It will just make it more betterer because it basically means that they can't do anything that they want to, which is not a good way to govern. The whole idea of our version of government is that we put these people in charge and we tell them what to do, and then they help guide things into existence. And this was like just pulling out bits and bobs from how everything's supposed to work, and everything was just going off the rails. So this really could be a really good thing, even if all the terrible stuff happens, all these specific bad things that this guy's going to do that I'm really unhappy about. He'll probably be totally into NSA spying, which I loathe. But if we get movement on Chevron deference, then it won't even matter because Congress can just say, hey, you don't have that authority. We didn't give it to you specifically. And they can't go in front of the court and say, well, we feel like you did, because there's no more Chevron deference. So I don't care what you feel like. If it's not written in there, then you don't have that right.
And, you know, the thing about that is that will take away from the power that both the Republicans and the Democrats have, because basically, you know, whatever party controls the executive branch then controls the agencies, because they're just going to fill it up with people that will do whatever it is they're wanting them to do. And if the agencies can't automatically just get a pass on the deference for their, you know, laws when, you know, being ruled against it in the courts, then, you know, that gives everybody less power. And I like it when the government has less power.
Yay. At least the whole idea of American government is that it's a restrained government ruled by the people. And the whole thing we've been living with since, I don't know, FDR or what was it, 1941, something like that, is just since then we've just been kind of moving away from, you know, an accountable government created by and for the people into this different version of reality. And it's not good, not a good version. So I'm really excited that while tons of terrible rulings may come out of the next 20 years, I'm really hoping that we get a really foundational key element of America fixed. And that's, I think there are several things that we can do like that, and that they will really fix government, not remove government, but will fix it and make it work better, which is, I think, totally nonpartisan. Everybody should want the government to work better.
And for anybody out there that might agree with or disagree with what Red just said, I'm going to break it down into terms that everybody can understand. To all of our left-leaning friends that are listening, basically what he's talking about is how Ajit Pai has the power to smile with his oversized coffee cup and take away your free and open internet. And to our right-leaning friends, they're talking about the person that Obama appointed over the EPA to take away all your coal.
Yeah, those are great examples. It's so true. It's just like they just decided, well, I feel like I have that power. No, it's not really in the law. No, the people writing the law probably wouldn't have wanted me to do this. But I feel like it counts, so I'm going to do it. Is that cool, Supreme Court? Yeah, man. You just keep on keeping on, bro.
What's this? We've already deferred to you? Sweet. All right. Well, we have a Kavanaugh now, and we have a extremely conservative Supreme Court. Extremely Republican Supreme Court. I don't even want to call it conservative because the Republican Party, of course, you know, we often give the Republican Party kind of crap for not being conservative. And those of you out there who love your Republicans and George W. And all the other things, remember, they gave you the NSA, which would just love to just stick a probe right in your rectum with a antenna on it to transmit everything you do right back. In the name of stopping terrorism.
I think you're channeling South Park there. Is that, are you channeling South Park?
I might have been channeling South Park there.
Or is that reality?
It's hard to tell now.
I am not a big fan of the NSA. So I get that some people are, but I just want, if you are a fan of the NSA, cause you're on the right team, yay power of the government authority state to keep us safe or whatever, just remember how you felt about it when you thought the NSA was a conspiracy theory and you thought that everyone said that was totally crazy, because you were not arguing that it was good and the government should listen to everything and record everything. You were arguing that no, the government would never do that. So just maybe think about why you used to think that the government would never do something like that, because out of that should come the rationale for why we don't want those sorts of things.
Because they are doing it. All right. So I would like to call out scumbag of the week with the Kavanaugh confirmation.
And I wish we had a jingle for that.
We really need to come up with
scumbag of the week.
That you just created it. I'm gonna snip that. That's our new jingle. Congrats, Red.
Perfect.
Joe Manchin is scumbag of the week for like a cowardly slithering into the Senate floor after Susan Collins had decided that she was gonna vote yes and announce that so that he could then vote yes, because it didn't matter at that point, and he was trying to win some Republican votes in West Virginia, which I don't think he's gonna do. He's Joe Manchin. Maybe he will. I don't know. At this point, I feel like everything is so crazily bipartisan that Republicans will not vote for a Democrat, and vice versa.
Well, there you go. There's your scumbag update.
That's right. We'll try. Something we should do. We should try and find a scumbag. It's not hard.
And we could switch sides every week. Every week we'll have one scumbag from the left side and one scumbag from the right side.
Well, we could just call out the two scumbags of the week.
We could find two, really?
Yeah, I'm sure.
In all of Washington, or are we talking about America here?
Yeah, I think we just Senate floor, House floor, guaranteed. We could find, you know, what is it, 680 something scumbags of the week.
I'm excited about those present voters, the people that voted. Who was it? Somebody voted present.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. Who voted? Do you know who it was?
Yeah, so Lisa Murkowski voted present. Oh. And actually, this was kind of the opposite of a scumbag move, if I understand it, because – or maybe it was a super scumbag move. But she – as what I understand is that she basically said that she was going to vote no, but some guy had to go home for his daughter's wedding, and he was going to vote yes. And so she tried to be nice and voted present, so – neither, because those votes would have canceled each other out, right? He would have voted yes, she would have voted no. And so she got to vote present, which is kind of a nice thing.
Well, she's not up for election until 2022, so I don't think it mattered for her. You know, and Alaska elected Sarah Palin governor, so they'll elect anybody in that state.
But I just thought that was nice because she wanted to vote no, or at least she said that. But instead, she voted present. So that other guy, because that other guy couldn't vote yes because his daughter was getting married.
I see.
Perhaps, unless that was all just a sneaky ploy.
Well, maybe. It's possible. I don't know.
There's lots of sneaky ploys going on.
But so also with the Kavanaugh news, rounding out our Kavanaugh news, we're going to talk about. I promise this is our last thing on Kavanaugh, and then hopefully we never have to say the word Kavanaugh again for quite some time.
Oh, but I'll miss him. He's our favorite recurring character in this story that the media is telling us.
Oh, I'm not going to miss him. He's going to be don't worry, he'll be around for 35 years or so. So,
and every time you say his name, this is what you're going to think about. Post-traumatic stress that will never end. We'll just get to revisit it over and over again until the end of time. And I'll remember that this is the last time that I thought the ACLU was reasonable.
Well, I think every time you say his name, Mitch McConnell's shell gets a little harder.
That's great. He's a super ninja turtle now. That's
all right. So the last thing on the Kavanaugh is he has the first Supreme Court justice in history, I guess, to have four female clerks, which I don't think this is, I mean, to me, it's not news because this is again, buying into this whole narrative that, you know, men and women need to be, you know, we need this equalization thing. And I think we should just, if the four women were the most qualified for the job, then that's great. There's four women in there. If they weren't, then there's one less qualified person, but now we have a news headline.
Well, let's just think about it. Is it very likely, likely, somewhat likely, unlikely, very unlikely, or extremely unlikely that the four best law clerks are all women?
Well, I would say it's probably unlikely just because we got to be batting 50-50 probably, right?
You could expect it's very unlikely. I mean, there are more women that go to college and graduate, so maybe three out of the four. If we're just sticking, we're ignoring everything else, we're just looking at college graduation rates, then you would expect at least one, if you know, just statistically, one would probably be a man. But there you go. That's statistics don't always work the way we want them to, so maybe they're the best four women in the universe. I don't know. Seems very unlikely.
Yeah, well,
seems like a political move.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a political move. I mean, you know, it's not like he needs to suddenly try and win over the favor of women or anything.
Yeah. I read that, like, what was it, like 38% of independents were really, really unhappy with how the Democrats handled this, which is not good for the Democrats coming up in this election because this was a moment for them to just – it was pure victory. And I don't know how they turned it into a loss. It doesn't make any sense, but I think they did because I think people in the middle are just really unhappy with what happened here.
Well, I mean I don't know how they're not equally as unhappy on both sides because to me the second that this whole thing came out and the water got as murky as it got – because the water got very murky on this thing. They have a whole list of you know, judges that some super conservative branch gave them to hire. So, you know, just pick another one out of the pot.
Oh, man. What's the – do we have another topic? Can we – is he going to go away forever? Do we just say goodbye, Brett? We will miss you.
Yep, yep. You're right. Goodbye. We can't talk about that.
I enjoyed you and your hat, goodbye. Your berets.
Farewell, Kavanaugh. Try not to drink a keg stand on the way to the parking lot.
Hopefully we'll see you again soon when you're fixing Chevron deference and then – and we're hating you for all of your horrible NSA things.
Yes, we're installing NSA probes in our rectums.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next story here. Some hometown news tonight. The Tennessee, Taylor Swift has come out in support of Phil Bredesen, who is the Democratic candidate for the Senate race here in Tennessee.
Oh, no.
What? So I guess, Red, you were mentioning that there was quite a bit of hate against Taylor Swift for some reason. I wasn't really as caught up to that. So why don't you walk us through that?
I thought she was a Nazi. Wasn't she a Nazi? What happened to that? I thought we all agreed Taylor was a Nazi. Finally, the Nazis had somebody to represent them that was, you know, not – horribly dejected person living on the outskirts of society with no friends or money or family. They had somebody who was like a decent person, T Swift, to make them feel better about themselves. And then all of a sudden, oh no, T Swift's not actually a Nazi.
Well, let me fix this for you. Congratulations, Taylor Swift. You're a communist.
Yay! You've done it. You've joined the club.
Because that's what's going to happen now.
Well, I don't know. Clearly, there's some of them over there that are definitely communists. I mean, goodness. So there's like if you think the government should be responsible for giving everyone a job, and everyone who has a job at the government should be paid the same amount of money, hey, you're a communist.
Well, but I'm referring to the fact that the right will now just label her a communist.
I mean, then she might be, so she'll get there. And there are others in the Hollywoods that are communists. I mean, I think this will be good for her. I think she's really been iced out of a bunch of parties because, you know, she's not been anti-Trump, jumping on the wagon. So if she would really just go full on Bernie and say, hey, we need government to give us jobs – and we need government to make sure everyone makes the same amount of money. I think she'd be back on top like that. It'd be T Swift all day, every day.
Well, you know, before you go letting her back into the Hollywood elite parties, you might want to hold your horses because Bredesen did something quite unparty-lined here recently and came out and said that he would have voted for Kavanaugh.
Oh, no, no. This was the person that Swift threw her stuff behind?
That's correct.
Oh, well, I guess we got to put her back in the Nazi camp. Clearly that Kavanaugh character was a Nazi.
And you know what? It took us 2 minutes. 2 minutes to go on before we mentioned the name Kavanaugh again.
2 minutes was too long. I was already itching for it. I was just thinking, Brett. So I have a poster of him up on my wall, and I look at it when I get lonely.
Is it, you know, super whiny, I'm crying over my not dead father, Brett? Or is it, you know, furious, righteous, indignant anger, Brett? Or gin blossom, Brett?
Yeah, I actually have it's like a half and half of the angry and the crying. And then one side is like the Jedi and the other side is like the Sith.
I see. All right. Well, yeah, so... Bredesen is running against Marsha Blackburn, who I watched the debate, and like the only thing that she could respond to any question with was just by yelling Chuck Schumer's name over and over.
Well, Chuck Schumer is a person that has opinions that are bad.
Well, I don't know that that's how you should answer all your debate questions, Marsha.
Well, I think if Chuck Schumer would just stop Schumering things like Amy Schumer Schumer's things, then the world would be in a better place. That's right.
Chuck Schumer!
This is what the Republicans make fun of the Democrats for all the time, is that they don't have anything to say except we hate you, which is very funny because I assume that that's basically what this lady was saying about Schumer.
Yes. Definitely. Chuck Schumer and Hillary sponsored Phil Bredesen's campaign, and that's supposed to be an answer to some kind of debate question in which nothing was asked about who sponsored his campaign.
What's more effective? Having some decent strategy for making things better and like coming up with a good prescriptive vision for how we solve things, like coming up with real specifics, like maybe we stop having insurance tied into our employers and maybe that would somehow create a better market situation for insurance, or creating some kind of a way that we can handle, you know, debt for people, or maybe dealing with the national debt. I mean, those are all really complicated, annoying things to talk about that are all, you know, very important and affect us in very significant ways. Nobody wants to think about that, but I really hate that Chuck Schumer guy. Can you believe what he did recently?
Well, he gave Phil Bredesen money, according to Marsha Blackburn.
Oh gosh, that's horrible. He might as well be he's on the left, right?
He is on the left.
Communist. He might as well be a communist.
Well, I heard Taylor Swift's a communist.
Oh, I thought she was a Nazi. Hold on. Let me Google this.
She's
this
one of those right. Communist Nazis.
Oh. Is that like a utopian?
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, with the whole thing that's going on with the Tennessee politics, it's, of course, this is a seat that the Democrats believe they can't actually win. I don't believe it, but sure. But I especially don't believe it since Phil Bredesen came out and said that he would vote for Kavanaugh, because there are a ton of Democrats in Tennessee now that are swearing off ever voting for him for anything ever again. Which, well, you know, yeah. It's just me. I don't get that, because it's like, isn't that just voting for Marsha Blackburn?
Yeah, yeah, right, because it's a two-party system. Those are your options.
Right. I mean, you know, I voted for Gary Johnson for president because, you know, two-party system.
What is Aleppo?
Well, you know.
That's my soundbite. If we had a recorder, every time you said Gary Johnson, I would play him saying that phrase.
You know what? We should try and get Gary Johnson. He's running for Senate, by the way.
Is he?
He stands a pretty good chance of winning in New Mexico.
He ran New Mexico. He was the governor for a while.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. So he could win New Mexico. We could have a libertarian senator. How cool would that be?
So funny. That would be great. Have one guy out there trying to represent, you know, American idealism.
Yeah, one guy out there, you know, not towing a party line.
Good luck.
Rand Paul calls himself a libertarian, but Rand Paul is a far throw from a libertarian.
Well, he's like 50% libertarian and like 50% Republican.
Well, he still falls under the shell of Mitch McConnell. So
he's under that mighty shell.
That's right. As long as he's
that ninja turtle,
as long as he's taking shade from the demon turtle, I don't think he can call himself a libertarian.
Well, I mean, you know, I think Ron Paul was more libertarian and Rand Paul is less. I really think he was trying to back it down so he could get into presidency, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So, yeah, he just needs to go back to the roots. Just go full on Big L. Little buddy.
That's right. Full on Ron Paul.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, why not?
I mean, yeah, I would vote for, a Ron Paul version of Rand Paul for president.
I mean, it's like they already treat him like he's a crazy, insane person. They'd like people tackling him at home and send him to the hospital. It's not like he needs to. Not like it matters.
We never did get to the bottom of that. We really need to get to the bottom of that one day.
Yeah, well, I think the bottom would probably be some kind of a, you know, crazy rabbit hole conspiracy, because I doubt there's actually any real information out there.
Oh, that's true. All right, well, going to be a little bit of a short show tonight, so I think that's going to do it for us tonight.
Did we hit 30 minutes? Did we do it?
Oh, yeah, we're over 30.
Oh, no. Yeah. Our goal is 30. Why can't we do 30? What's wrong with us?
Well, we're never going to do it. We talk too much.
One day we'll get there. We'll get it down to 30.
We'll see.
We'll get it. What about that daily brief? What's that thing? The New York Times propaganda brief or whatever it is?
It's just called The Daily.
The propaganda. Yeah, I got it. Okay. So we could have the propaganda, but I don't think that we could maintain that for, you know, only talking for how long is the thing? 5 minutes?
Well,
3 minutes?
So it started off being really short, but it's actually gotten quite long recently.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, there's actually even been some two-parters.
Oh, the one thing I wanted to talk about I forgot about was China. So we don't have to talk about it now. Maybe we'll talk about it some other day. But yeah, China's got like a microchip in everybody's computer, according to a year-long investigative report by Business Insider. And they said that basically, who was it? Like three big U.S. companies, Amazon, Apple, and I feel like somebody else, they all found out through like researching and doing a real deep dive into the hardware on all the servers in their server farms, they found that there are these little tiny microchips in their data centers that basically send out a request for a command and control thing and give them a little portal into the operating system so that they can be taken over remotely by Chinese hackers. And all of the companies denied this. They said that they had 17 independent sources that all verified this was happening, and they had people from each of the companies tell them that this was happening, and all the companies have denied it publicly.
Well, I mean, seeing as how all of the chips in all of our computers are Chinese, it doesn't surprise me in the least that this is happening.
This is, oh, it's so horrible.
I'm sure they can control all the iPhones.
And we're in the middle of this trade war with China already. And China has, we need to talk about China sometime. China, what are you doing? Stop trying to re-educate people. It's not a cool thing to do.
I guess my only problem with this is it seems like that would be a very easy thing to find in your firewall.
You've got this rogue thing trying
to communicate back to some, you know, random service on some random port.
Yeah, so these are nation state hacks, and they are years long hacks where they go in, they establish an uplink, and then they like plot and they plan on their next move to get to the next server. And it's like a year, it could be like 6 months before you make the next move because you want to make sure you're not going to be detected by some kind of heuristic algorithm. So I mean, what you're saying is totally right, that you can always get them through the firewall. But if they only operate once a month for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and then they figure something out and they find a little hole or a little gap because they've, you know, they've gotten into your firewall and now they know what your rules are, and they just start slowly chunking data out. And I mean, that's what we keep doing to each other. All these countries, we all keep hacking each other and having more and more sophisticated ways to get around stuff and to be hidden.
And you can guarantee if China is doing it to us, we're doing it to China.
Hey, you know, we could be doing it to ourselves and just blaming China. That'd be a great out.
This is the NSA's plan. The NSA's plan is to take over Chinese factories and build in chips to bug all of our corporations.
No joke, Amazon bought one of the companies that does it.
Oh, great.
So everyone's thinking, well, maybe did they know when they bought? They didn't know. Are they responsible for it? It's happening in China. Maybe they did it on purpose.
Yeah, sounds like a great way to find out what your competitors are up to.
Well, what the Snowden leaks basically said that on our side, we don't manufacture much in the way of this sort of hardware. And so we just grab things at the UPS stop. We drive up to the UPS and we grab the server and then we fix it.
Oh, I see.
Better.
So you're probably right. We probably have entire UPS and FedEx hubs that just literally things go in there and come back out changed.
I don't know. That definitely happens. That was part of the Snowden leaks. That's one of the techniques they use. It's whatever. I just might as well use a postcard. Everybody knows what you're doing anyways.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this show, guys. Please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, give us 5 stars, write a nice comment or a nasty comment or whatever kind of comment you want to make. As long as you give us 5 stars when you do it. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Circus Pod. You can find me on Twitter at Real Zed. That's R-E-E-L-Z-E-D. Red, when you're not busy trying to break down the doors of the Supreme Court so that you can yell at them about trying to make sure that Justice Ginsburg is taking her daily insurer, where can they find you?
Well, I'll usually be on Twitter tweeting about, how we should kill Kavanaugh. Nope. That was a Minnesota teacher. You can find me at RedTDC.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next time on The Daily Circus.
Looking for a great new podcast where both of the hosts also think Jeff Sessions' stance on marijuana is ridiculous?
Oh, no, the gun went off. Somehow that's related to marijuana.
Well, you know, I heard that marijuana can pull triggers.
Well, it is the gateway gun.
A podcast that takes political issues seriously, but also isn't afraid to have some fun.
All right, let's start with PETA and how they took over the movie.
Chewy cooks a pork!
The Daily Circus Podcast brings you interviews on events you won't believe are happening in 2018 America.
I was getting ready to play some video games with some friends, actually, when I get a call from my mom saying that there are 6 police cars in her yard wanting to talk to me.
So, 6 police cars.
While you're playing video games.
The Daily Circus isn't afraid to get into the real issues on gun control.
I want the government to be afraid to start a civil war. I think everyone should want the government to be afraid to start a civil war. I mean, we would all like individuals also not to want to start a civil war.
And of course, the Daily Circus covers the latest on Donald Trump.
Because his ego is bruised, because if there was Russian interference in the election, even if he had no part in it, then that somehow to him means that he's got to be sad now and go.
The Daily Circus Podcast. Click one of the links below to subscribe and get informed.